Are we doing a four count? Is it a four count? I mean, so we had to do with Dave. Four and in.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 130 somehow of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good, good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And if I could, wrap this podcast as the perfect gift, as it features so many ideas above our stations.
Right, so what's happened there is, for any new listeners, right, Morgan, every week, he hasn't had a stroke. He sounded like he was having a stroke. He didn't have a stroke, right? Every week, he takes song titles or lyrics by the people in question who are guests and uses them to fill that bit. And it grinds my gears.
I thought this one was very good. I enjoyed this.
It was all right.
Okay.
It was all right. Yeah. But yeah, I just for anybody new who's listening for the first time, welcome. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry about what's just happened. But yes, this week's guest is Colin Duran of They Fell From the Sky and, of course, British Rock Legends 100 Reasons.
Yes, and let's give this man some credit. Not only a great music mind, but truly a voice to a whole scene, generation and community. In the early 2000s, 100 Reasons were one of those key acts in the British alternative rock revival. Their records to this day are considered game-changing outlets for all the bands that followed. And are remembered as a highlight to a very important time in so many people's lives. And talking about inspiration, Sean, just how important were 100 Reasons to not only you, the Blackout, but everyone involved in alternative music at that time?
Well, I genuinely believe, 100 Reasons, it was Lost Prophets, Hell Is For Heroes, they were all detrimental in the scene, and then for creating what was to become, bands like my former band, The Blackout. They created that scene for us to kind of come into and step into. And wow, 100 Reasons released 3 EPs in the beginning and they were all unbelievable. And then they released Ideas Above a Station, which was fantastic. So what an absolute brilliant band. I saw them, I must have seen them 5 or 6 times. I saw them playing TJ's once. I think Thursday turned up and played. Oof. Just turned up and was just a guest on that show. And yeah, just 100 Reasons was such a fucking great band. After this, I implore you to go and check out Ideas About Station, Shatterproof Is Not a Challenge, Kill Your Rock. Yeah, all of it. Just check out 100 Reasons. But definitely, the reason why we're here today is to talk about Colin's new project, They Fell From the Sky.
Yes, and it's a very exciting time indeed, because he's actually returned to a frontman role with this new project, They Fell From the Sky, which is the brainchild of Colin and Jason Bold, who you will know as the drummer from Pitchifter and currently Bullet for My Valentine. They have just released their first two singles, In Dry and Crush This World, and we're going to be diving into the nitty-gritty details of what you can expect and even not expect from the band. Now,
yeah, that's true. Nice. Well remembered. Nice. Nice. Got him. I like what you've done there. Oh, everyone listen to this. He's got you good. Yeah, he is right. I've listened to this. Fuck, you know. Carry on,
but I should mention, since 100 Reasons quieted down, Colin doesn't have social media. He doesn't really do interviews. And the fact he's doing something like They Fell From the Sky is a huge deal. So we're very proud to have him on. We're going to be talking about everything. Absolutely everything from Reason Sky and the fact he's now a music business lecturer and helps run Notting Hill Academy of Music.
Yes, it's awesome, innit? I know it's probably down to talent, but how come I didn't get offered a job like that when in the fucking blackout packed it in? How come like Cardiff University went, oh, you're as close as somebody from Merthyr will ever get to fucking doing all right, come and fucking talk to these kids. But yeah, congratulations to Colin, love him. He's always been fucking super nice. Like, I literally met him as like a wide-eyed fucking, I need to say teenager, he probably would have been early 20s, and I was just like, he's fucking unbelievable. Like, his boundless energy, he's like a fucking the Labrador of rock.
Ooh,
fucking hell, wow, get on a t-shirt.
What a description there.
Yeah, just boundless energy, leaping about all the time, big air. I just loved them, and fucking brilliant songwriters, and I gotta get my tongue out their asses, haven't I? I've just gone on too much. They Fell From the Sky, the new stuff is awesome. It's heavier than you're expecting, definitely. And I fucking really enjoyed it. So yes, thank you very much to Colin for coming on. Thank you very much for his team for sorting it out. Yeah, it was such a fucking good chat, and it was just nice to see his face and just shoot the shit.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy seeing what he's been up to over these last few years. But just before we get into the conversation very quickly, just a reminder, if you'd like to help support Sapnin and us make this podcast each and every week, please head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin. Over there, there's a host of extra tiers and goodies and bonus podcasts you can get, but you can also be included in our wonderful, and I have to stress how wonderful they are, in our Sap Fam community. They all help each other, they chat every day, and it's a great, great laugh to help us continue this podcast. So that's patreon.com/Sapnin, and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at Sapnin Pod.
Yes, that's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPEN. Oh, bugger. SAPPENINPOD. Sorry, I had a stroke. very strokey today's episode. I'm sorry about that. And I'm sorry to anybody I've offended saying that as well. Give out a follow. As Morgan said, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Sapnin. Every penny goes into keeping this podcast going, because 130 weeks in a row now. Should we have done seasons? It looks like, but we didn't. So here we are, banging on every week. When one comes out Friday, I've literally got 48 hours going, ah, and then we're back to it. So yeah, check out patreon.com/Sapnin. Thanks to everyone who's already involved with it. If you're thinking about getting involved with it, in the words of Nike, have a bash in it.
Yeah, like, I think that's what it was. But anyway, let's get into this wonderful conversation with Colin Duran from 100 Reasons. And it's nice to see that it's not just stories with unhappy endings.
Fantastic. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sapnin! He beat you to it, won't. Colin's better than you with this. This week's guest is frontman, singer, all-round fantastic human being, Colin Duran. How are you, Colin?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
Yes, all right. This life stuff is taking forever, but yeah. It's all right, yeah.
Appreciate you taking the time, though, to come on, man. I think a lot of people are going to be very intrigued to see what you've been up to, what you've got to say, and just hear some amazing stories from your back catalogue of a career.
Well, I'll see what I can do, but yeah, see what's happening, right? Yeah.
How's things anyway? How have you been lately and through all this pandemic world of the last year?
I've definitely been one of the lucky ones. Life's been pretty good. I've got a garden. I know, right? Spoiled. I've got, the wife around as well. So I think we've kind of become our close little unit, which is kind of the good side of this, I think, for some people. But in some cases, definitely a negative. From my perspective, it's actually kind of worked out okay. Been one of the lucky ones as well, and the fact that I do have a job and I'm allowed to keep it and work and still get paid. So from my perspective, I know I've got a lot of friends, particularly in the touring world, just been affected really badly by the whole thing. It's not been great in that respect, but yeah, what can I say? I'm trying not to be too smug about it, but I've come out all right at the moment.
Yeah, you're smiling like you've won a Tory PPE contract, Colin. What's going on?
I'm just excited to speak to you. It's that kind of Welsh accent. It always brings out the giggles in everyone, doesn't it? Puts them in a good mood.
Well, there's a lot of things we want to get into in this conversation, but you've mentioned your job. I mean, please tell us about the lecturing and all that side of things.
Well, I run a music business school at the moment, so helping people learn more about the industry, pitfalls that, can fall into if you're not too careful. So that's kind of what I do on a day-to-day basis. So a bit of teaching and then mainly running the school and helping the students out with a bunch of great lecturers. What can I say? I don't want to talk about it too much because it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's definitely a way, I think, in terms of sort of being able to give back. I'm not a bitter person from careers in the past where you just feel as though you're owed something. I never had a big ego in the first place, so from my perspective it's all about community, it's all about help, and if you can help someone else do something great, then let them and help them. So that's what we do at the school.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. Well, you make out like people would be, bored up, but people are genuinely, we've had so many people get in touch with us asking for you. So, people want to know. People are interested, and that is interesting, because we've had some people in bands, and we've gone, I've managed to keep my job. And you're like, oh, what's your job? And you're like, oh, milkman. But yours is obviously more interesting, so especially to this world. So how long ago did you start that?
So I joined it about 4 years ago. It's the Notting Hill Academy of Music. So we run courses out in Notting Hill when we're allowed to. So everything is kind of online at the moment, but just a really good bunch of students that just want to do something cool. And we try to help them, we help them with the creative side in some areas, absolutely. But the main thing is that a lot of people don't know is the business side. How do I make money? So it's that kind of education process there where people aren't screwed over. And if they meet somebody that, you know, that says, you know, oh, I want to be a manager. I mean, anyone can say they're a manager. You know, I could say I'm a manager, but I wouldn't be a good one. So from that perspective, it's about understanding when you see your contract in front of you, when you want to know about publishing, registering your work, understanding how labels work. Even if you want a record deal, do you want one? Really? Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's help you with that. But maybe you want to do it DIY. So it's about also treating each, we don't have loads of students. So the idea is that we try to help people as an individual achieve what they need to achieve. And no music's kind of, you know, out of bounds, you know, because there's a viability in whatever it is you do. It's just about not sort of falling into the mistakes that other people might make, or even some of the mistakes I made, and about sort of passing that knowledge on.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just quite exciting to see that kind of eagerness from your students' eyes and getting back into music from that grassroots level, really, and just seeing everything unfold for them.
Yeah, and I think the idea is whenever someone's doing something like this, and particularly the people that we help, it's about not trying to sell any sort of a dream. So, you know, it's very easy to be rubbing headlights or, you know, loads of music analogies, as I'm sure you guys will agree. You could just turn that into a dating story, you know, and the moment you kind of turn it into a dating thing, it just becomes the best analogy ever. Whenever you're talking about something, if a pretty girl comes up to you and, or pretty boy, whatever it is you're into, you know, comes up to you and says, you know, go out with me. Are you just going to say yes? Or are you going to maybe look a little bit deeper? Because it's no different to a record label coming up to you going, yeah, I want to sign you, but they haven't really talked to you or done anything about it either. So just about that kind of educating people to not be sort of bowled over by the razzmatazz, because just like anything else, right, you know, you can love being in the music industry. It's amazing. It's a great thing to be a part of. But you have your boring days, just like everybody else does. You know, it's, you know what it's like. You go on tour. What are you going to do for the other sort of 23 hours of the day, apart from a bit of sleep? So the show is amazing. You have a great time. You play the show, but the rest of it, you're just, you know, going around doing what you do.
Yeah, just milling about, like looking for a Wi-Fi cord.
Generally, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's generally the vibe. So it's just about, you know, breaking the myths and making it something that's a bit more real. And we try to bring people in that have that expectation about, I'm serious about what I want to do, rather than, oh, I'm just going to be the next, you know, pop prince or princess or whatever.
Yeah. Have you got any of the students that, you think could be the next big thing? Or is there anything like that that you've got that you're very excited about?
Well, we've got a couple of students that are just really good. Some of them do sort of UK rap and they do a really, really good job of it. You know, it's really about sort of connecting them with the right people and get sort of helping them with that sort of foot in the door, because we've all got pretty decent industry connections. So it's very much, right, well, if you feel you're kind of at a decent stage right now, then we're going to do something about it right now. Could even be a student from 2 years ago can get back in touch and say, well, I'm ready now because I wasn't ready on the course. You go, okay, well, let's see what we can do. We've got the connections to get people heard. No one's going to sell you, you know, can't sell anyone a record deal or guarantee that, obviously. Yeah. But the idea is that anyone that comes to us, we can definitely make sure their stuff's heard. And that's probably one of the most important things, I think, for anybody to have, just that opportunity.
That's so awesome. I had no idea. That's what you were up to at the moment. So yeah, that's brilliant to hear.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Well, it is, and that's the way it is. Yeah, go on, Morgan.
Yeah, but not to get like a free lecture from you, but literally just to ask. I mean, when you're connecting with these students and you're talking things through, I mean, is there a certain element of the industry that they're always surprised by or don't really realize that how things work or how you've got to get into certain aspects? Like, is there anything like that that comes to mind?
Music publishing and copyright.
Okay.
Massive, as in terms of most people. I mean, we've had people that have come on the course that have done a master's, and then they don't know anything about music publishing. And that doesn't make them stupid, obviously. But it's, I just think if anybody's going to learn anything about the music industry, learn about publishing and learn about copyright. Because you spend a lot of time. You know, I did a guest on a record a few years back with a great band called Wars. People I've ever met really like the track. And I went in and, you know, did a bit of a guest thing. And it was really good fun with Matt O'Grady as well, who's producing. And you just go in and do that. But that doesn't mean you don't talk about splits and you don't talk about money, because if you're committing something that's creative to something, there's a percentage value attached to that. And it's not about it being the elephant in the room, because if a song goes stratospheric and you're left in the cold with no leg to stand on, it's your own fault. And that's what I mean about understanding copyright, understanding publishing, and just helping people be able to kind of have those conversations. Because you can, people like you and I would probably take that for granted, as in, right, here's what we're going to do, this is what's going to happen, right, let's have the chat about the money. Whereas I think a lot of creative people feel as though the money is kind of like the dirty word. And that's the thing where sometimes you can end up going and taking advantage for, because it's very important to understand that just because you absolutely love doing something doesn't mean you have to live like a pauper. If you can get away with making some money out of this, then go ahead and do it, because, you know, that's what allows you to keep doing it. If you don't have any money, you don't get to keep doing it. So you've got to make money out of what you're doing. So have those conversations. You go into the studio and work with a producer, understand that there's going to be, if you're not paying for that recording, they're going to own the master recordings because you're using their space. Understand all of that. Just delve and look and be interested, because it's not the most interesting thing on paper. But when you're sitting there in 30 years' time wondering why you had a shot at the big time and nothing ever happened, you know, you're going to go back and look at that and wonder why that is. That's because I'm an old fart now, so I get to fucking my day. So, yeah.
You should take... Have you ever thought about doing lecturing? Oh, no, that's what you're
doing. I thought about doing this.
Yeah, you should do this full time. Yeah, right. Yeah, you should teach it. Yeah.
No, but that is a bit interesting to hear, because I think a lot of listeners to this podcast as well wonder about those nitty-gritty behind-the-scenes elements. And we've all heard stories in the past of someone getting the wrong end of a deal or doing the guest feature and taking a fee up front and not thinking or whatever. So, yeah, it's interesting to see that you're passing on that knowledge from all your experience over the years and just trying to get people aware of these things more than anything.
Yeah, and I think these days... You know, no one gets a bad deal. No one does. It's just about what you will and won't accept. And if you don't think you're getting a good deal, just walk away. You don't have to sign anything. Until it's signed, you're not committed to anything. And I think sometimes bands feel, or some artists feel, as though they're almost obliged to sign it because they've taken their conversation 3 months down the line with a label. And it's like, if you're not happy, just don't do it. Just walk away.
Yeah, now looking at it, I've just realised I could have done with you about 17 years ago, because I've done guest stuff with other people's songs, and yeah, I don't think I get credit for it, so I missed that boat now, Tom. But it's good to know the future moving forward, I have people like you to teach them these things. So yeah, hey guys, don't be an idiot like me and go and speak to Colin.
Wow. Speaking of interesting projects, I mean, we have to talk about your new band, They Fell From The Sky. You've just started this with Jason Boland from Bullet For My Valentine.
Wait there. I don't think that's true. Didn't you guys get together in like 2016 or something like that?
It's probably even longer than that. This has been a long time coming, just in terms of deciding, I think, what we want to do with it and how we want to do it. So the songs have... probably been recorded a couple of times, just because, you know, as you listen back to stuff, you constantly critique, and because nothing was coming out, we could go back to it. Dave Draper, who's produced it, has done an amazing job, played guitar as well. So there's been a lot of time spent on it just to make it great. And I think the songs have probably been written over a long period of time. And I think it just initially started with a bit of a dick about with me and Jason. And just kind of went from there. And there are points when we were thinking about making it something more serious, and then it was like, well, no. and I think it's, you know, if you want to be in a band and start a brand new band, you've got to understand, it's, without sounding patronizing, it's a young person's game.
Yeah, I found that out, like, yeah, lately.
Yeah, because it's hard, you know, you can go and do something creative by all means and have a really good time doing it and have that outlet. And maybe, you know, there's an odd show that comes out of it here and there, sporadically, if everyone really feels like it's something that you want to do. But generally, the days of jumping in a van for months on end, you know, it's, being in a band in the early days is an incredibly selfish thing, and you need to be selfish because you need to be able to go and do that. Whereas when you get older, your ties are different, you've got a mortgage to pay, it's a bit tough to justify to your wife, I'm just off on the jolly for a couple of weeks,
yeah,
gonna come back with fuck all. But I promise you, I would have had a really good time.
Yeah, and here's some washing. Yeah, I've got this big bag of smelly clothes.
Some washing, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's some gig pants.
But what's made you realize now is the perfect time to get the band going and put out music and everything? Because as you said, you and Jason have worked on projects in the past with his This Is Menace and everything along that line. So why now? Why 2021 to start another band?
I think it's just because we were understanding a little bit more about what we wanted to do with it. And it was to just, it's music we've been sitting on for quite a while. And it gets to a point where, you know, you just want people to hear it. You're really proud of it. You absolutely love it. I think one of the things that I'm always bowled over by is just how ageless it is. And some of the songs have been around for 5, 6, 7 years. And just, they're just not dull. They're just not boring, and they still float your boat when you put it on. And I'm just listening to a track while I was waiting for you guys, you know, because you're fucking late. And while I was, then I just put a track on, and I'm just like, this is, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the songs. And I just think people want, you know, people should hear it.
Well, yeah, we were blessed. We were lucky enough to be sent a link to Dry. And yeah, awesome. Fantastic. Thumper. I don't know how you feel about this, but bear in mind this is a very, very good word to me. This is, but tinge of nu metal. I don't know how you feel about that. I love nu metal, Col. It was my greater genre.
I think it's, I don't think you can get offended by genres, because people will put your music into whatever genre they like. I think the idea, whenever you think about your music as a genre, you're just going to send yourself down a spiral of doom. I think the whole idea is, when you think about the genre of music, it's not about whether it's nu metal, whether it's death metal, doom, whatever it is. It's just, if I was going to go and find it in an actual physical shop or in a Amazon basket of sorts, what department would I be looking for? And as long as it fits in that department, then you're probably going to be okay. But I think you can over pigeonhole yourself anyway. And I think whenever you listen to any music, you'll find elements of anything and everything within it. The thing for me is, whenever I write music, I just want to write music that I like listening to. And that's what it comes down to. And it's, you know, at some point you can get a little bit sort of overly analytical about things. Absolutely, for sure. But I think obviously if it's for the benefit of the song, then you do that. But generally, I don't think about what genre anything sits in. I just sit there and think, does that sound good? And if it does, and if that to you, Sean, happens to have a nu metal tinge, yes, then I'm fine with that.
Good.
It doesn't bother
me. Good.
Because anybody that listens to anything is going to think what they think of it.
Yeah. You should have only been worried if I said it sounded like Scar. Because I'm not a big Scar fan. If I said, oh, yeah, oh, that's brilliant. It reminds me of Real Big Fish.
I think I might be questioning your musical knowledge, I think, if you thought it sounded a bit Scar. Yeah. Fairness. And also as well, if you're like, to be honest, Colin, what the hell did you do that for? It's absolute rubbish.
But this is the thing now, right? Because, yeah, if we tease now about all the different genres, people will have to go and listen to it because they've got a clue what we're talking about. So, yeah, I like that Scar section in the middle.
And it's really good.
Yeah, I like the dubstep outro as well.
I thought the rap section was really good too.
That was good, yeah.
Really good.
I can't believe Tupac was on it, to be honest. I can't believe you found those old recordings.
I know, right? There's a lot of stuff floating around that they're trying to monetize. There's a lot of leftovers. There's the odd verse here and there. There's not enough to put into a song. If you actually go to his record label, there's actually like a Tupac bin, and you can go there and you can fish out anything, have a look through the old tapes or whatever, and literally you can do a pay what you want. So you just leave like maybe 20p in a little box next to the bin of the old
and
tapes.
And you get the right feature. You get the right feature in Tupac on every video you put out. That's unbelievable.
Exactly.
What a great idea.
Exactly, I know.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe you're the first band to do this. That's brilliant.
Well, you know, we are inventing it.
Yeah, but Dry. It's heavy. It's rocking, and then all of a sudden the indistinguishable sound of Colin comes in, and it's awesome. It's really fantastic.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, it reminded me of the good old days.
You're gonna cry.
I'm thinking about it. I'll leave it. Oh God, man, it's one of the best things I've ever heard in my life, man. How did you and like Jason meet and stuff? Like, I know you did This Is Menace together. Was that the first meeting?
Actually, no. I mean, how far back do you want to go, really? My very first band, which was called Floor, best name ever.
Nice. No. How was it spelled?
You know, like the stuff you stand on, you know, when you're standing on the floor. Literally that. Now, I know what you mean, because you could say floor, F-L-A-W. So I do, you know, I'm not going to take the piss, Sean. Yeah,
it does have more of an emo indie rock vibe as well. Floor, as in, with a W.
Exactly, yeah. So I was in a band called Floor, and we played our local venue, which is called the Agincourt in Camberley, Surrey. Pitch Shifter were headlining. So for us, it was like the big support. Now, believe it or not, again, how far back do you want to go? But there's a guy that came and did our sound, this guy called Roger Patterson, one of the nicest people ever. I think he does merch, or he did a good few years ago. But he also used to be the tour manager for Faith No More and Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, like you do.
And he used to live, I know, right? But he used to live fairly locally. And this is one of the main things that I kind of discovered about how you don't always have to look at the people in the bands necessarily. There's plenty of other people that work in and around those bands that probably have a lot more sway, so to speak. Because I bumped into him on a train like the year before or something, and he was on his way to meet Faith No More to start a tour, and we were just like, me and my friend were on our way to London to come buy the single for the new Faith No More and King for a Day came out. Here's an old story, right? So we did that, and then we went to a secret Faith No More gig the next night that we had tickets for, and then he was there. We're like, hello mate, saw you on the train yesterday, had a little bit of chat, blah blah blah. Turns out he just lived in the next town along, so sort of built a little bit of a relationship with him, and he was really into helping people out as well. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. Not even remember me, but he was such a wonderful man, and he kind of helped and did our sound so that we would sound all right at least, you know, when Pitch Shifter came on. And the Pitch Shifter guys were really nice, just really friendly, you know. And you get him, Jason was there, and Mark Clayton's one of my best mates now, you know, he was there too. But the support band that was on first was Jetpack, which was Larry's band. So we had that kind of bill. And I suppose that was our first meeting. And then we had a sound engineer called Steve Gurney, or Steve from Cov. He's amazing. And he used to do a lot of Pitch Shifter sound and ended up doing our sound. And when This Is Menace was coming together and I was in Nottingham, I kind of just went and did some vocals for the album. It kind of just went from there, really. And you just end up, you know, coming in, you know, like you do with this industry. Everyone has to be best friends all the time. You just kind of fall in and out of each other's lives as and when, you know, something comes up. And I think when Jason was trying to put together just a few ideas, and I had a few ideas, he just sent me some stuff, and it was like, well, I've got some ideas for that. And then you hash it out, and then you realise that there's something pretty good going on, and kind of goes from there.
I think Steve from Cov, was it Steve from Cov that you said?
Steve from Cov, Steve Gurney, Brother Gurney.
I think he,
shout out.
I think he gave my my friend Bob, who was the guitarist in the Blackout, Tinnitus for all of his life. So
probably,
if you could send that over to Steve from Cov, thank him from Bob, because Bob has got a constant Bob is the angriest person I've ever met, and I think that tonight just plays a part in that. So could you please thank Steve for that?
I think we're doing it now. I think we're thanking him now.
Steve. Hi Steve, who obviously listens every week. Yeah, you've deafened Bob, so good work. And yeah, keep it up.
but with that, obviously, you know, Dry is the first single to be released from the project, and there's rumours of an album coming out in the spring. I'm sure you'll announce that in due course. But
I think I've been told summertime. I got a text from management yesterday. I was like, just give me the dates, will you? Because, you know, I'm going to talk about it. And then an album in the summer. Yeah.
But I believe this is your first proper project of you fronting a band and everything since 100 Reasons. So is there a bit of you that is nervous to get this project out now, to be releasing music again? Or are you just excited as ever to start fresh and show people what you've been up to?
It's kind of a weird one. I'm excited about it coming out. I don't feel any nervousness or anything, because people will make of it what they will. And from my perspective, I've always kind of been that way. I've not ever felt, you know, people have to like something. I remember handing out a flyer once after a show, and someone just gave it back to me and went, no, mate, it's shit. And it was just funny, because people think that they just have their opinion. And some people feel the need, I think, to express it more vehemently than others. I don't mind what people think, because people will love it and some people will hate it and think it's the worst thing they've ever heard. But from my perspective, I'm really proud of it. I'm really glad I worked on it. I think it's one of the best things I've done. And just to be, you know, hanging out with some of the loveliest people, you know, we've got Leo and Mez as well, I play bass on it, you know, from Snuff. There's a few cheeky guests on the record as well that Dave Draper, producer, has worked with, but they're not credited through choice. So there's good stuff there. And it's just been a really kind of casual process because, you know, when you've got no pressure and you've got no expectation, you know, you're not trying to please anybody, you're just trying to make sure that you're happy with it and that you like the songs and they sound how you want them to sound. And you made sure you've given it everything that it should have, you know, to be amazing. So for me, yeah, there is no expectation.
Can you maybe spoil a surprise and tell us a guest that isn't Tupac, obviously?
No, no, really. They've wished to remain anonymous. But
so that's definitely Mike Patton.
Right. Mike Patton tick.
Although if
right, sorted.
Yeah, so anyway, just want a quick shout out that if Matt Berry ever listens to this podcast, I want him on something. Matt Berry, I love you, Matt Berry.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, me too. Funnily enough, I did guest vocals for
Matt Berry.
A friend in America. And I just finished watching Toast of London that day when I was recording the vocals. So the producer who was recording my end ended up sending him all the outtakes of me just going, yes, 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 yes. And right to the end of the song, he used one.
Amazing.
So like it fades out and then it just goes, yes. But yeah, all right, yeah. I think everybody would like Matt Berry on an album.
Probably, but he's very musical as well. So it'd be interesting take would be on it. So yeah, a Toast of Tinseltown.
Oh, nice. I'm going to write Matt Berry down because I'm going to now try and bug him to come on the podcast. So
then you've got to make something happen.
I will make it happen. I will.
It's a guarantee as well, so you know he's serious. But from your point of view and stuff as well, I mean, is there a lot of these ideas vocally or with melodies and everything that you've been working on and had secret for quite a while, just now and again over the years, just collecting little ideas? Or did all of you just get into a room and make the album and the songs that they are together?
I think for most of the process, there was no writing that actually took place, I think, in a room, as in let's all get together and write. It was normally, you know, sending emails, here's a track that I've come up with, here's some ideas there. And then I go, well, here's some ideas, I've got to go over that. And then you expand on it. Most of the time when I'm being creative, I do have ideas and I record them. I think most people do. You just put them in your phone and then you have this kind of back catalogue of ideas that you can go back to. And then sometimes you're just, the next single, which has got a chorus that's actually bigger than God. that came up just with me and Dave in a room, just, you know, here's some music, and then the idea came and then the music underneath it changed. So there was always that kind of flexibility to be able to, you know, and sometimes when you're in a room and you're writing with other people, that's a little bit sort of more difficult sometimes because you've got other people to persuade. Whereas if you can go away and make your idea what you want it to be and then present that, then people can go, oh, okay, yeah, that's actually really good. So there's different ways. And I think I've written sort of many, many different ways, but because this was just something that happened over such a long period of time, it was just more casual. So you would just go back to stuff. And one of the tracks on the record was probably redid the vocals like three times because I just thought, well, that melody needs changing. That could be better. That could change there when I'm not happy with the delivery there. So, or maybe we cut the intro a little bit short. You know what it's like being creative, but you just do it over a longer period of time because, you know, if you guys know who Dave Draper is, he's just finishing up, I think, the latest sort of Wild Hearts record, and he's recording that, and he's just such a busy man. But this, again, for him, is like a passion thing. And it's just a great relationship with that guy who's just one of the best human beings ever. And I always kind of like to say that, you know, when you're sort of trying to, I think when you get more experience as a performer, particularly in the studio, you kind of know a lot more about what you want to do and you need less direction. So the way that Dave and I work is generally it's just a little bit of guidance here and there and a few ideas back and forth. And, you know, it's quite exploratory. So, and that's quite a good thing about it being a bit more of a studio project rather than kind of being in a live room and going, okay, here we go. And then you go to record it and then you're suddenly under this time frame where something has to be recorded and tip top within a certain period of time to be delivered, whereas over a longer period of time you get to go back to stuff. And I think that's what's made it such a good project, and also I think what makes it so good.
Nice. And for anyone listening to this and thinking has a expectation of what you guys might sound like because of all your previous projects and everyone involved in there, how would you really describe the band if you had to put it into words? How would you really describe They Fell From the Sky?
It's really heavy, like really heavy at points, and then it's also got like really, really, really good choruses. I always like a massive chorus anyway. I'm a big fan. So that's, you know, that's kind of what it is. It's just, it's got, there's even one riff that I wouldn't say is a million miles away from Meshuggah when they're kind of grooving, but that's only like a small element of a track or something. But the idea is I always like melody, and I like melody over like odd time signatures. So sometimes that'll creep in a bit here and there too. But yeah, you just write what you like. And I don't think you need to be beholden to any genre or style. I mean, it's heavy because that's the music I like, and that's what Jason likes, and that's what Dave likes. So that's what's going to come out at the end of the day. I don't know, how else do you want to describe it? It's a rock band, and it sounds like a big rock band. So it's good.
Yeah.
Nice. Are there any, I know not at the moment with the virus going on, but will you celebrate this with some live shows maybe later in the year or early next year? Or
I'm going to go with no.
Ever? So, when are we going to...
Never going to play a gig?
I don't think so, no. I think the whole idea is to keep it a bit of a studio project.
Ooh.
Keep it something that isn't... Again, you know, it's hard to say never. You never say never, but... At the end of the day, with other commitments and everything else that's kind of going on, it's got to be something that's worthwhile. And without sort of realizing or even knowing what sort of traction this is going to get, without sounding mercenary about it, it's tough to kind of give up your time to go and play first on at a festival for 50 quid that's a 4-hour drive away.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's just not where I'm at. And that's, again, not me being mercenary, but it's also got to be worth Jason's time. Out of bullet, you know, whatever he's doing at that as well. So, you know, it's a passion project, and I would never say never, but the intention is to not do any tours. The intention is to not really play shows.
Okay.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, we say that now. It's a secret set of Download 2022. Yeah,
well, that's why
yeah.
I said never say never. You never say never. Yeah. You never know. Yeah, if it's number one on the charts and suddenly we're filling stadiums, then I'll be like, sure.
Yeah, imagine that. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. I said on Sapling, I wasn't going to do it. I don't care if Wembley Stadium sold out. I promised Sean O'Morgan. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we can make millions, Colt. No, look, I promised Sean O'Morgan.
But I did never say never, so that's okay. That covers me. That's yeah. The
I quote, yeah, I quoted Justin Bieber, so everything's
exactly.
All right.
Exactly. but the intention is no.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm excited for everyone to hear this album in the summer as well. Too. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. But while we have you here, Cole, I mean, we would love to dive into the past a little bit.
Okay.
If we can. I
do
know
you? What... Yeah. What's your views on World War II? No.
That's how I didn't think you'd go there, to be honest. But.
Neither did I. When we start, you said I wanted to go to the past, and I instantly went to World War II, and I don't know why. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about it now.
No, but we'd love to talk a little bit about 100 Reasons. Like just looking back on the band and everything now, how do you see its kind of legacy and its lasting impact on the music scene? Because I feel like 100 Reasons was a band that really, in the early 2000s, influenced so many bands. And obviously you took the likes out of Ruben and House of Heroes and even Funeral for a Friend to extent out and playing all festivals and shows together at that time. And all of those bands are seeing it as such cult classics. So I just wanted to see, like, when you look back at 100 Reasons and everything the band achieved, how do you see it now in 2021? How do you look back on everything?
Well, I'm massively proud of it. How can you not be? We got to tour with some great people. I think there was a real community around the time. That's not to say that doesn't exist now. It's just that it's not really my world anymore, so to speak. But there's some, you know, just some great times were had. I think... I kind of look upon things, you know, if you want to go back to the band sort of starting out in year 2000. It's kind of like me being in the 90s listening to Rage Against the Machine and then trying to listen to Led Zeppelin or something like that. And I think how we remember things and sort of consume time as a measure is quite amusing as well, because I think we were lucky to be able to make the music that we wanted to make. Not all of it is maybe as good as I would wanted it to have been. And I think it's important to be open about and candid about stuff like that. I'm very proud of what we achieved and proud of what we did. But there's always going to be a few things that you would maybe change a little bit. And sometimes that's not to do with the band itself. Sometimes it's to do with circumstances surrounding the band, you know, particularly in terms of deals with labels and changing of hands and stuff like that. So there's always a few things that you would maybe do a little bit differently, but in the same respect, you can't go back and regret that, because that's just happened. And if you're going to sit there and dwell on a decision you made 20 years ago, you really need to just fucking shut up and go home. So from my perspective, we just made sure we wrote the best music that we could at the time and enjoyed it while we were doing it. Made sure that we had a real, I think, ethos towards the people that came to see us play. We didn't want to rip people off for t-shirts. We didn't want to rip people off for ticket prices. We always wanted to make sure that I don't think anyone in the band ever had an ego. And I think that genuinely is probably what probably helped us a little bit more, particularly in terms of transitioning from being in a full-time band, you know, to doing something else. Because for us, it was never about the big I am. It was about just making the best music you can and playing the best shows you can, so that everyone walked away, hopefully, thinking, you know, had a really good time. Because that's what it is. You know, you can't, you know, the music that we wrote, definitely on a personal basis, the lyrics and what have you, meant a lot to me. But they're not going to mean a lot to absolutely everybody else. And you have to understand that. And I think this is why a lot of American artists do really well, is because they understand it's the entertainment industry. And that's a lot of the reason why they are maybe have more success. But we kind of understood that we were there to sort of entertain people. And the whole joke was, like, what are you, some sort of performer monkey? Well, yeah. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy and you don't have a great time while you do it. I think a lot of people have been really kind to us, you know, since as well, in terms of how they've sort of, you know, talked about us. You know, Ralph Manishikari has been really kind about us, you know, and, you know, being a fan of the band. And Frank Turner's been really kind to us as well. You know, there's been a few people out there that I think that have said that we've had a really positive impact on them. And I think that's really good. So from that perspective, to have that, that's a really nice legacy to leave behind. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anybody should ever walk into this industry thinking they're going to make a shed ton of money. And we never had that perspective. Our manager was like, look, if you manage to make two albums, well done. If you make three, amazing. And we managed to make four. So from that perspective, but that was the whole thing. Our expectation was managed very early on. So we weren't bothered about getting chicks and that kind of thing. It was just about, well, I'm here for the music. I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to sing songs that I really enjoy singing. That's what it was about for us. So yeah, it's a bit straightforward, and yeah, not maybe the most rock and roll, but I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that.
No, I think that came across with your music and your live shows, is that you were there for the music. Some of my favourite shows back in the day, I was talking about it, funnily enough, I was talking about it with some of the Sapnin'. We got like a Patreon group or whatever. I was talking about some of them, about us seeing you guys in Cardiff Coal Exchange. Yeah, with Captain, yeah. Douglas Slade as well.
Douglas, yeah. Oh, those boys.
Yeah, Colin and that. Yeah. Another Colin, yeah.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Colin Squid.
That would have been messy no matter what.
Yeah, it was a very, very good night. But yeah, did you... Because you guys were kind of like part of what I see as the big resurgence in British rock. So that you're like Morgan mentioned some of them, like you guys, Headers for Heroes, A, Ruben, Lost Prophet, like... You were the bands just before, like, my bunch of... Yeah. My scene came along, I suppose, that, like, opened our eyes to going, oh, Jesus, you can be British and do this. This is unreal. Did you feel that at the time? Because it was such an exciting scene and so many fantastic bands from all different genres as well.
Yeah, I think the thing for us was to always make sure that we kept our UK identity. So it was... if anything kind of sounded remotely American, which it generally didn't, then it was kind of stepped on. And I mean that in a good way, because it wasn't about trying to fake something that wasn't there. I think, you know, in terms of that, it was just a really good time to be around. Yeah, I mean, that's just what it was. It was like that sort of like camaraderie. And I don't necessarily know that we were having that impact maybe at the time, because it's very easy to kind of look back on that. But kind of when you're in it, stuff's happening at a million miles an hour. And you play one show and then you're playing another show. You've got press here, you're flying there, you're doing that, which on paper sounds absolutely amazing. And it's very difficult to actually stop and think about it. Whereas if you look back on it after the event, you go, wow, that was pretty cool. But doing it, that's just what you're doing. And I think it's very easy to, it's not forgetting why we did it, because that never changed. But when you're kind of in it, it's kind of almost odd. It's like some people would be, back in the day, you know, you kind of almost go, well, your dream is to have a record deal or something like that. And so, well, I've got one. And then it's almost like you start to take that even for granted, because you've made a certain amount of progression. So even then, when we're sort of making this and then they fell from the sky, you kind of knew at some point that somebody put it out with a bit of promo and set you up with cool podcasts like this. So, you know, so you go and do that and someone's going to want to talk to you. So yeah. This is something that, you know, it's obviously good to see you guys, but from some other people looking from the outside in, it's like a little bit, well, how the hell do I get to do that? How do I, without blowing smoke up your ass, but how do I get to speak to Sean and Morgan on their podcast? How do I make that happen? Who do I connect with? So it's very easy, I think, when you're kind of in it, to just not think about the day to day and just think, well, I'm doing this now, I'm doing this interview here, I'm doing that there, because you're just on the machine and the music is what keeps you going through that. So from that perspective, yeah, it's only when you kind of look back on stuff and then you bump into people but the HR guys, we all talk, we all still hang out, we all speak on Zoom, we all still see what each other are up to. We had a chat just the other night. So, and we'll have a bit of a reminisce, because you do, because that's it's probably one of the most important parts of our lives from that perspective. So, you know, you do that and then you go, well, and, you know, Andy Buse will be like, well, you know, I bumped into this person here and they go, oh, you know, you're the drummer in that band or whatever, you know, 100 Reasons, wow. And it's sometimes, you know, you get, I mean, I was in Costco a few months ago and someone's like singing 100 Reasons and, you know, you have a little joke, you go, still got it. But, but that's, you know, that's, it's just a, you know, that's what it is. It's a almost, it's not segmented away, because, you know, you grow up, your life changes, you do lots of different things. And it's, in terms of your life, it's actually quite a short period of time. So that sort of 8 years, I think it was, that we did 100 Reasons. It had longevity for that period of time, and that's great. But also you kind of move on from it too. But it's only when you kind of look back or you bump into an old friend and chat about stuff, or even like reminisce like we are now, you go back to that and go, oh yeah, I remember that bit. Oh yeah, I remember that too. Yeah. But when you're kind of in the day-to-day like you are now, you don't necessarily always think about it, because it seems like such a long time ago. It's quite funny.
Yeah, well, thinking back then too, because like you said, you guys are, you know, you're just normal British lads who love music. Was there a moment where you were like, what the fuck is going on? Or like, how am I in this situation?
I think the moment was when we were writing our second record, actually, and I went to see Coldplay down in Plymouth, I think it was, and then Chris Martin came up to me and said hello. And I thought that was quite funny. I mean, he seemed lovely. I definitely wouldn't speak bad of him, but that was quite funny. And then there was kind of those other little moments, like, you know, it's like award shows and stuff and things like that. So yeah, it's quite, there's those little things. And I think sometimes as well, when you couldn't, you know, people never got to the stage where it was like, you know, like it would be made for like a megastar where you just can't walk down the road. You could always walk down the road, but you would get people looking at you. And it was kind of like the joke, you know, like the Spinal Tap joke when they're in the hotel and they're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, they walk past.
Yeah, exactly. Because they go to the bigger band, like Van Halen or whatever it was. So they're going over to there. But because we just joke about stuff like that. Whereas really, you know, you'd be like, we just won a Kerrang Award for best album. How amazing is that? Beat System of a Down and whatever, which is crazy.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
I think I could. Yeah. And that was odd, you know, when you're having that going on, then you're mingling with all these people and these kind of megastars. So from that perspective, it's a little bit different. But I think it's just, you know, like you say, what we tried to do is just enjoy it while we did, rather than take it and suddenly think you're suddenly elevated. You know, I went out to Pizza Express with Simon Pegg. That was good.
Nice.
Came to a show in Leicester. He was just lovely, just amazing. And we were all big fans of Spaced at the time as well.
Yeah, me.
And
I've just rewatched it all.
It's amazing. Brilliant. Still amazing. And we sort of sat there and talked about zombie movies because we both like horror films. And that was before Shaun of the Dead and stuff like that. So there's those kind of moments where, it was just a good time.
You didn't say it exactly, but what we're taking from this is you wrote Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, basically, I put all my ideas. I actually had Simon Pegg's number at one point, but then my phone got stolen in Liverpool.
Ah.
Gutted.
Bugger. Well, Simon, if you're listening to this, get in touch with Colin. He's now
he's not over it.
Everything he needs to know about publishing and copyright, and now he wants to talk to you about a zombie movie you released. So after a chat with him, so.
But not to play devil's advocate or anything, but you mentioned that you and the 100 Reasons guys still talk from time to time. So does that mean the door isn't shut on the band, that maybe, you know, if the right offer came in, that you might play a gig at a festival now and again, or just the odd appearance maybe? I mean,
if somebody maybe made you aware that in May 2022 that'll be the 20th anniversary of Ideas Above Our Station. I don't know.
I think again, I'd probably bowl down the never say never route on that. We'll get on. I think if anything was to happen, it'd just have to feel completely right. So I would never say never.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
That's like,
this is when all the festivals listen to this and they get so many offers afterwards, and it'll be all down to us. So
that's true. I mean, has 100 Reasons got a booking agent at the moment? But yeah, this has been really awesome. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
No worries.
Well, just before you go, Colin, I do want to putting one last question, if that's okay, because I had a little look, did a little research online, and I found something that sounds like it was a very insane story. So I've written this down to get it correct, but I believe for a while you were actually the music coordinator for Activision Blizzard and selected content and licensed for the Guitar Hero franchise in its peak. Is that true?
I did that with a wider team, yes. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I worked with an amazing guy called Tim Riley, Brandon Young, Sergio Pimentel. Really sorry, Daniel, I can't remember your last name right now. David Iscove. This great, great bunch of people in the US that were just so passionate about music. Guitar Hero is doing really well. They wanted some extra people in the UK to help out. And I was one of those people helping out. And it was a really good time with some thoroughly, thoroughly wonderful people. So yeah, that's true.
Awesome.
So how did that process work? I mean, were you involved with picking and choosing what songs that could go into the game and stuff?
Yeah, a little bit of that. And you know, in conjunction with everyone else, obviously it has to be a business decision. So not everything goes in, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you had a hand in the creative process in terms of track selection.
That's probably why all those Blackout songs didn't make it in there. And other people must have been stopping them, Col.
Fucking Sean Smith, fuck off.
Yeah, like, oh, let's get him paid. Let's get him some bloody money. He needs it because he's doing bloody guest spots for free.
You sound very bitter now, Sean.
Oh, I am. both of those bands went on to do much better than mine. So,
Well, I mean, that sounds like there could be even more projects that could blow us away that we don't even know about. So is there anything else you've been up to over the years that maybe people wouldn't be aware? Or
I did a little thing with Dave Draper, actually. We did I'd call it like 7 minutes of fun. And it was a band that we called the Isle of the Cheetah, which is named after the Hum song, because we love Hum. They're just amazing. So I called the band the Isle of the Cheetah. So if you type in the Isle of the Cheetah band, we did like this weird. So we did a video. It's on YouTube somewhere. So check that out. It's just me. fucking around and Dave messing around. But it turned out fun. So yeah, it's odd.
Awesome. I'll have a look after this now. Cool. Well, yeah, thank you for giving us your time.
So
dry. It's, as the Australian people say, it's a bloody ripper, mate.
Thank you. Very proud of it.
Hopefully there'll be some sort of show. They'll be forced into some sort of shows at some point so we get to see this. And hopefully we could do one of these in the flesh at some point as well, Carl.
That'd be great. Be good. I'll be up for that. It's lovely.
That would be fantastic. Well, thank you very much. And see you soon with a bit of luck.
Look after yourselves, fellas. Thanks a lot. You're
listening to Sapping Podcast! Yes!
Wonderful stuff.
Yes, that was the fantastic Colin Duran of They Fell From the Sky and 100 Reasons. And he did some vocals for The Lucky Nine and he did some vocals for This Is Menace. So, yeah, thank you very much, Colin. Here's one thing. Mm-hmm. Here's one thing I got to pick on.
Shoot.
Is how do you record something as banging as the new They Fell From the Sky songs?
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't busting to play a live.
That surprised me as well, to be honest, because you know these songs do sound they would go down huge at a live environment.
Surely, imagine a fucking download and they just fucking turn up and fucking rip it. Mm. Unless that's what's happening, and I've just literally spoiled the fucking surprise. Sorry, guys. But if not, Colin, if you're listening to this, or Jason's listening to this, or anybody in your team has managed to get this far, if you need a front man to do it. Hello, I love a fucking bash. If Colin won't, give me the fucking gig. I'm busted, man. Anyway, thanks again to Colin and his team. Massive fans, as always. What a fucking superstar he is. As I said earlier, he's always been fucking lovely to me and my friends. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us his time. Thanks for the new songs. And thanks for everything 100 Reasons did for everybody in British music. That's including anybody who's listening to this now. If you've got a favourite band in British music, probably come via the 100 Reasons corridor of help.
Well, it spoke a lot when he mentioned that Chris Martin from Coldplay went out of his way to speak to Colin. I mean, well, you know, the parallels there is a bit shows how important 100 Reasons were. But yeah, I thought he gave a great insight into everything, all the projects. And it's nice to see that he's passing all his business and musical knowledge over to young up-and-coming artists trying to make it in the scene today. So go and check out everything Colin is doing. And remember, as he mentioned there, They Fell From the Sky will be releasing an album at some point, hopefully in the summer. So make sure to head over to their social media pages to keep updated with all of that. And hopefully someone will convince them for a gig at some point.
I just realised now after we started recording this, so they probably are going to do one and it's like a secret fucking... more quiet one, and I just fucking ruined it and outed them. So if that is the case, I'm very, very sorry. We haven't been told anything, so
this is us.
I guessed it. Like I pulled it out of my psychic Sean. We should have a new part of the show where Sean tries to guess what happens over the next week called Psychic Sean. God. And I'll just sit there. Aliens. It's UFOs next week. There you go, I said it. It's just come to me. UFOs. That was another episode of Psychic Show.
What the
I don't know.
How much coffee have you had this morning?
Two. I've had two coffees.
Well, that's too much. Yeah, it is same joke, same time, mate.
No, I wasn't doing the pun that you were. I was just saying it is literally too much because I'm fucking vibrating inside. So, So the future is UFOs, by the way, everyone. Psychic Sean has just seen it in his mind's eye and is now giving you this for free, unless you sign up to the Patreon and you'll help, which means you are a beautiful, beautiful person.
Yeah, I would prefer you to give me the winning lottery tickets, but I know that's a bit of a stretch. So if everyone listening to this could go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin instead, that would help a lot because we are saving up to try and buy new gear. There's loads of bonus material over there if you can't get enough of us two idiots talking to each other and guests each and every week. And the community, I cannot stress this enough, are wonderful human beings that we all have a great laugh with. I actually got to meet up with a couple of them this past week for a socially distanced drink, and it was a good good laugh, good time. So nice. Come and get involved, patreon.com/sapnin.
Yeah, and what I've noticed about Patreon is it doesn't let ugly people sign up. So if you go to patreon.com/sapnin and try and sign up and it lets you in, that means you're obviously a beautiful person. But some people try to sign up, and especially for the higher tiers, if you sign up for the £15,000 a month tier, you've got to be very good looking.
Yeah, yes.
Because otherwise it'll just straight deny you. So, yeah, check out patreon.com/sapnin to help your boys keep this going, and check out how beautiful you are. So, yeah, patreon.com/sapnin. Also, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at SapninPod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
I enjoyed that. That was a little bit different. But yes, please go and give us a follow, check our stuff out, and just send us messages if you've enjoyed this episode. Click subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Share it,
put it in your Instagram stories, give us a comment, everything.
A
it all helps.
Tell
just get it out there, please, man. Fucking
tell
everyone. Everyone. Yep. But speaking of beautiful people and our Patreon page, we have some people to can't say that. Name redacted.
Oh, can you beep that out? That'd be good if you beep that out. Beautiful people. Yeah, carry on.
That we need to thank, Sean. So if you head to the description of this episode, there is loads of people involved with our Patreon there that we say thank you. But Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. They're the top tiers. Sometimes they change their names. Sometimes they have a laugh. And we're about to see what they've decided to do this week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, it looks like they haven't fucking bothered, but that's fine by me because it's less to read out. Thank you very much to these fucking super special people. Thank you so, so much to everybody in the description. Please go and check it out. They're all fucking superstars. But you are the most beautiful people in the world. Thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, that's not his full name, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Nathan Croshaw, Dilly Grimwood, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Owen, Kat Besson, Sammy G, Amandine Rubano, Shani Meyer, Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Sarah, sorry, Morg, James. What have we done? What'd she do to you? Or do we not say?
I don't want to incriminate anybody.
Oh, wow. Sarah's currently under investigation, so we can't really speak about it. Anyway, thank you very much. Justin Dunn, Amy Campion, Murray Grimwood, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Tom Average's Best, Charlotte Owen, Dan Gies, TJ, a steak pun is a rare medium. Well done.
Oh,
Ambler Shattuck.
Fucking hell.
TJ, listen to Morgan's reaction. That was Morgan's reaction. So if he doesn't like it,
Thank you very much to Kate Stevenson, Jenny Munster, Danny Eaton, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Becky Handy, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Louis Cook, Jenny Robinson, Marty Jacobson, Sharifa Wadali, Jason Heredia, Caroline Robinson, Craig, actually market research says caravans are hot, who would have known, Harris. Well, yeah, it's just a small plastic cube that's securely shut. They're going to be. They heat up in the sun, you fool. Thank you very much. Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Carl Prendlebury, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Stuart McNaught, relation, Lydia Henderson, Ollie, alright Charles, how's it going, alright, Amesbury, nice, Chris Howard, Joshua, join the Patreon, it's fucking awesome, even though Sean hates my jokes, crisp, the first half of that is spot on, oh no, so it's the second half actually, thank you very much, Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow, Alice Wood, Keris Andrews, Simon Amos, and last but not least, Connor Lewins and family, thank you very much to all of those people, anybody who's fucking even considered joining our Patreon, thank you very much, but you can only join it if you're good looking, so ugly people don't bother, beautiful people have a bash,
yeah,
have a bash.
Well, they've had to lower the standards slightly to let me be involved in it, so it's worth having a look, patreon.com/sapnin. Thank you to everyone involved with that. As we say every week, it's just me and Sean that do this. There is no fucking extra help with like a producer or fucking people who do anything else. Everything you see and hear from Sapnin is myself and Sean. So please go and check out patreon.com/sapnin to help with everything. With that being said, is there anything else you'd like to mention before we wrap up this wonderful episode?
No, as usual, just follow us on socials. I do a band as well. If you've listened to this talk today and you thought he's way too happy, I'd love to know what he's like at his lowest. Check out Raiders Band UK on the socials and stuff, and Raiders UK on streaming websites. Have a listen to how miserable I actually am in my heart.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thank you very much. I love everybody involved with this. Thank you very much. If you're listening, if you've got this far, I reckon it's only Sticks, because I talked to Sticks the other day. He's like, I hear everything you fucking say.
Oh, so, nice.
I hear Sticks, and also it's just you, I think. But yeah, thank you very much to everyone. Thank you to Morgan. Also, I was on Those Damn Crows Crowcast back last Tuesday, which is available on their YouTube to watch. Which was very fun, and I enjoyed it very much. So thank you very much to Those Damn Crows boys for having me on that.
Yes, and we'll be back next week and every Friday with a special guest. Next week's one is a little bit of a surprise. I think a couple people gonna be excited. I don't know why I've started talking. Two different accents.
Is it Borat? Have we spoken to Borat? I don't even fucking know. Yes, they're gonna like next week's guest. What the fuck?
I don't know.
You just turned into Borat.
Also,
why
nice.
Do we always come up with fucking golden nuggets at the end that nobody ever fucking listens to? Alright, my wife. Next week's podcast will be very sexy.
It will be very sexy.
Bro, if we haven't got fucking Borat out next week, I'm going to be fucking tamped.
Well, tune in
so
to find out.
We've got some emails to send. Yeah, we've got some emails to send to Sacha Baron Cohen today. Thank you very much, everybody. Hopefully, see you next week. Love to everybody. Sapnin! Give me your tears, Gypsy, or I shall take them from you.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.